Deuteronomy chapter 10, please. And we're looking forward to continuing on this study of what God says here in verse 12 of things that God requires of us. So if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, of course, if you are physically able, Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 12 and read down through verse 22. We're going to read what's called responsively. You'll read out loud with me on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage of Scripture, beginning altogether in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, thou shalt, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Well, we've been talking about what God says here in verse 12. You understand that Moses was the servant of God. He's the leader of God's people. The mouthpiece, the voice of God to the folks there that God had chosen. And God revealed to Moses the different types of things that he wanted his people to know and to understand. So as Moses is speaking to them, think about this. And if you kind of look back at verse 10 and 11 here, it kind of gives you an idea that Moses spent some time with God. It says in verse 10, it says, and I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. You understand that Moses and God had a pretty close relationship. Even to the point, we talked about this before, that Moses asked to see the glory of God, right? And God said, no, I can't do that to you, Moses, because it'll kill you if I do that. So he said, but what I'll do is I'll hide you in this little cleft here, and I'll put my hand over there, and I'll pass by, and I'll let you see the back part, so the kind of the trailing end of the glory of my glory there. And even that caused Moses physically to shine. Can you imagine? It was so bright that they had to cover his face with a veil, and the people were like, Moses, you're kind of freaking us out here. This is kind of scary. That's what having God in your life does for us. So he spends this time with God, and Moses is trying to articulate. He says, guys, this is not what I'm your leader. I brought you out of Egypt with this rod, and we put it over the Red Sea, and it parted, and we walked across and all these things happened to us. You understand that, you know, and we were having this battle one time, and I'm holding that rod up in the air, and every time my arms kind of fall, then the enemy wins, and when they go back up, we win, and you know, yeah, I'm your leader, and you've seen fire fall from heaven, and you've seen a water come out of a rock, and all these things. I'm the leader, but this is not what I require. This is what God requires. You know, a pastor ought to be a bold voice in this land of darkness. And I ought to, as the Bible tells me, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But can I say to you that these are not my requirements. And these are not the things that our Baptist church requires. Do you understand this? This is what the scripture says, that these things are what doth the Lord thy God require of thee. You know, people kind of give us Baptist churches a little bit of a hard time, saying, well, you make these people do this, and you make these people do that, and you're so narrow-minded and on this subject and that subject. Folks, I'm not making anybody do anything. These are not my requirements. These are not the requirements of this church. These are God's requirements. These are things that God requires of us. And we need to take that to heart. Because when we really get to the source of it, it's really a matter of either my way or the highway or God's way or the highway. I mean, it's just kind of like that. It's not my way. It's not my requirements. It's His. So what does God want from us? What does God require? And we already talked about the first two in this statement. In verse 12, that the Lord God requires of us, His people, to fear the Lord thy God. Fear Him. Reverence Him. Respect Him. Does God deserve that? Let me just ask that question. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, He does. And matter of fact, He is the only one to be feared, if you will. Because guess what? If you get that part right in your life, all the rest will fall in line. You'll have no problem with any authority in your life if you don't have any problems with God. But guess what? If you don't fear God, you probably won't fear other authorities in your life either. We talked about the fear of God and what it means to participate in that. And then last time we talked about the second one, where Moses says that God requires us to walk in all His ways. Folks, the ways of God are perfect ways. They're right ways. They're righteous ways. And it ought to be no problem for us to walk in all His ways. You know what you have to do that? Abandon your ways. Yeah. The way of man is not in himself. Folks, we don't know which way we're going. So guess what we need to do? Follow His ways. Where do we find this map of ways of God? Right here. Got a whole book of maps right here for us to follow His. And I'm not talking about the appendix in the back here. We got a whole guidebook of the ways of God and how to pursue after God. And do you want to find Him? Do you want to follow Him? Do you want to walk in all His ways? Hey, isn't life more grand when we decide to walk in lockstep with God? I think it is. It's the way it ought to be. And then we come to a little phrase here. He says, simply, and to love Him. Now you say, Pastor, that is way too simple of a truth to follow for a whole 27-minute message. Yes, I can tell time. I know you don't think so because we go over so often, but I can. Is it too simple of a truth? If it's such a simple truth, then why is it so difficult for us to love God? You say, but I do love Him. Well, Peter said that, didn't he? our newest missionary to our missions family, Brother Jeremiah Unruh. He did not know last Sunday night, because I don't talk about these things to other folks necessarily. He did not know that this Sunday we were going to be preaching on this particular topic. But he referenced the passage over in Matthew that God has with Peter. And you understand that there are some levels to the love that we attribute to God. He talked about the levels of love that we have as Christians. And a lot of times we're not at that third level, that highest level of love where we've given everything over to loving God. And that's where we need to get to in our lives. You understand that God uses this word all in here, walking in all His ways. And then we'll be talking about soon that we're supposed to be serving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He talks about these things because it is important for God to get everything out of our lives. The fear, the reverence, us walking in His ways, us serving Him, which we'll talk about next time, and us loving Him. Does not God deserve all of our love? He does. You say, well, what about my wife, or what about my husband, or what about my kids? Listen, you must understand that if we give everything to Him, there'll be enough for the rest of it. But if we don't give Him all of it, then we will be picking and choosing. You see, God says that He deserves the first fruits of everything in our lives. God deserves the best, and He deserves control of all of it. Because He alone is God. You see, we try to partition things according to what we think in human reasoning. God is beyond that, folks. He's beyond it. What we can fathom and what we can reason and what we can think. Because the world says what? If I give God all, then I won't have anything left for me. Don't we think that way?
Yeah.
But that's not God's economy, is it? God says, if you give me everything, you'll have more than enough. That's how it works with God. You say, that doesn't make any sense. I know, isn't it great? I love it when things don't make sense. You know what that means? That means we have to trust Him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So God says here to the people through Moses, He says, fear the Lord thy God, walk in all His ways, and love Him. Just love Him. Folks, we just need to get down to the simple truth of loving God. Do you love God? You say, yes, I do. Let's see to what degree that we love God today. If you'd like to just flip back a few chapters from where we are here in Deuteronomy 10, look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Again, Moses talking to the people of God. He says, hear, O Israel. Look at verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Well, what does that signify there? Someone who is sold out, whose heart, if you will, and not the physical, heart, but our heart, the part of us that loves, right? The part of us that God wants and desires, because in and of ourselves, it's what? Desperately wicked. It needs a makeover, right? It needs an overhaul. It needs to be changed. What did David say? Create a clean heart in me, O God, right? God needs to be and to have our heart. All of it. Later on in the text that we read, he says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be ye no more stiff-necked. It's a big deal to love God. To love God. As we continue on, there's a purpose for this. He says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. Let me go back to where I was. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on the gates. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyard and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, he says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you see how quickly our love can change hands? Quickly. Because listen, God says, hey, you need to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, all your might. And these things need to be all around you, on your hands, in your houses, all around you, to your children, talking of them. And be completely saturated with these things of God. Because if you're not saturated with them, other things are going to creep in. Other things are going to kind of start to enter into your life that'll make you forget God. It happens. It happens to all of us. Just think about your week this past week. And listen, I'm not going to argue with you or condemn anyone and say, well, you don't really love God. I'm not going to do that. That's not my place. But I want you to think about, and I'd be willing to ask, I don't want to wager or bet, I guess. I'd be willing to say that if I were to go around and ask each one of you, do you love God? You'd say yes. I really believe that. I don't think there's anyone here that says, no, I hate God. I don't love him at all. I don't think that that's the case here today. And if I were to ask you, you'd say, but then think back to your week. How much time did you spend with him? Does the time that you spent with God this week, is it an indicator of your love to him? Is the things that you thought about this week, does that just scream out, I love God? The things that you participated in this week, do they paint the billboard that says, I love God? I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm not trying to punch you in the face. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. But I want you to evaluate the requirement of loving God. Here in Deuteronomy 6, Moses outlines a complete saturation of love toward God. Does he not? With all, he says, thine heart. With all thy soul. With all thy might. When you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, when you're talking to your children, when you have them upon your hands and frontlets between your eyes, and they're written on the posts of your house and on your gates. That sounds like a pretty good saturation of love for God. He says, this is a requirement. Again, let me reiterate. These are not things for salvation, you understand. They're for Christian living. Because we're saved, we should fear God. Because we're saved, we should walk in all His ways. Because we're saved, we should love Him. Because guess what? He first loved us. Long before you ever loved God, God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you and to pay your sin debt for you. Long before. God's love is not in question today. Because guess what? He loves us when we're unlovable. He loves us when we don't deserve it at all. And guess what kind of love it is? It's a so love. For God so loved the world that He gave. Flip one chapter or back the other way, chapter 7. Moses continues and says this, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." Did you notice that? He said that the Lord set His love upon them. That's amazing. And guess what? Because of Jesus Christ, God has set His love upon us. He said, because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Do we love Him? Do we love Him? Has He redeemed us from the house of bondage? Folks, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm asking you, have you been redeemed? Boy, we ought to shout. And we ought to love Him because He loved us so much. In Psalm 31, David writes and says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Psalm 116, David writes again and says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications." In Psalm 119, 159, David says, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." In Psalm 145, 20, David writes again and says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy." Love Him. It's a requirement. Requirement for what? Fellowship with God. Oneness with God. Hey, husbands and wives, think about this for a moment. When is life best at your home? Whenever the husband just says, "Yes, dear." Is that right? Come on, guys. You can laugh a little bit there. It's okay. Happy wife, happy life. Come on. That's how it works. No, but how about when we both love each other as we should? Isn't that when it's best? Guess when it's not so great? When other things creep in and begin to steal our love away from our spouse. Come on now, think about it. When you get too involved with a hobby, or something else captures your attention, and you neglect your wife. Guys, how is that? Is that good? Ladies, how is that? Is that good? No? It's not. So why would it be any different than our relationship with God? When things begin to steal away our love, What happens to our relationship with God? Grows cold. It's not so tender, is it? It's not so warm. We've got to understand these things. I know it's a simple illustration, and I know it seems like a simple topic, but isn't it very complex? To love Him. You say, man, Pastor, that is so easy. No, it's so hard. Hey, listen, I think Peter was a great guy. I really do. You say, why do you think that? Because he's a lot like I am. My personality is a Peter. I'm a Peter person. Now, don't worry, I won't cut your ear off, I promise. You want me to try? We can see if Jesus will put it back on. Experiment time, yeah, okay. No, but he had his issues, didn't he? He let other things creep in and steal away the love that he had for Jesus. I don't question that Peter loved Jesus. I'm just wondering what happened. Because Jesus himself came to him by that fire and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. If you want to look at that passage of Scripture, you can take your Bibles and turn over there. In John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, from that point forward, do we see the love that Peter had toward God in his life? Absolutely. Folks, sometimes we need to be reminded that we love God. Jesus was restoring Peter. Did he go through a difficult stretch? Yes. Was he distracted by some things? It seems like it. Did some things in his life kind of steal away some of the love that he had for his Savior? Folks, it does. But we've got to be reminded that we love Him because He first loved us. We do love Him. And it's not just in word. Because think about what happened in Peter's heart here. As he's going through this process with Jesus. The first time it's kind of like, yeah, I love you, right? Isn't it? It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? And maybe even the second time, maybe it was a little deeper. I know that in this particular text, we cannot see the emotions and the expression on Peter's face and in his heart. But can you kind of get the feeling that by the third time, it's hitting home? Because he's grieved. It's making an impact. These words of Jesus are getting a hold of him. And that's what I want to ask us today. What is it that's going to take to get a hold of us? To realize how much we do love God. And then live out our life that way. Because look what happened to Peter. Going forward from this time, does Peter seem to live out his life with a love for God that he had not expressed before? It appears that way, doesn't it? And that's what I'm asking about us today. Oh, listen, I'm not here to question whether or not you love God. I just want to know to what degree, how much. And are we going to live it out in our lives? Because, you know, we're not supposed to just keep this to ourselves, are we? What did Moses say? Hey, you need to show it out there. God chose you. He set His love upon you so that you can be a shining light to others. So that God's love can just kind of spill out of you and permeate unto other people. That's how the love of God should be in our lives. Is His love abounding? Is His love that kind of thing that fills and overflows and saturates? Absolutely it is. And it needs to come out of us, folks. But if there's not enough in us, how can it come out of us, right? We need to work on it in our lives. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 John chapter 4. While you're headed over there, let me read a few more verses from David. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. When we talk about love, God is our ultimate example. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. Is there any question of the love that Jesus has for us? I don't think so. Because He gave everything for us. Undeserving sinners. Christ gave it all. You know what? That's ultimate love, is it not? What are you willing to give for God? And let me even ask this. What are you willing to give to God? Because you know, you say, well, but Pastor, I've trusted Christ. I've given Him my life. Yes, but we'll go back to that illustration in Sunday school about the Holy Spirit of God. How much? How much? You say, well, I've given everything to Him, you know, except for my free time. You know, except for this hobby. Except for this desire. Except for my, oh, I can't have, I need to do my job, my career. What is it? Is it all? Because last I checked, Jesus even said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. So guess what? Fear Him first, and guess what? Those other authority things will come in line. Oh, walk in all His ways. And guess what? The successes of life will come into play. Love Him with everything. And the love will just work its way out because we're putting God first. Seek ye first. And all these things will come into line. That's how we ought to understand what it means to love Him. Are you there in 1 John 4? Look at verse 7. John writes and says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son to the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. See how this fits together? It's a requirement of the Christian life, of being one of God's people, that we love him. And it's evidenced in our relationship with other people, in our relationship at work, our relationship at home, our relationship in our neighborhood, in our communities. How much we love God shows, folks. You know, there are times that we just don't love God like we should. But can I say that doesn't have to be the end of it? It doesn't have to be the end of it. You say, well, I guess I just don't love God then. Did Peter understand by the end of that exchange what Jesus was trying to do in his life? I think so. You see, how do you know? Because it grieved him. When we come to the place where we realize how little we really do love God, and it bothers us, that's the beginning point. But until we come to that realization, we're just going to gather up folks and say, hey, I go a fishing. Y'all want to come with me? From that point forward, what did Peter do? Stood up at the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Went to the temple and told that man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And from that point, he preached to 5,000 people, and 5,000 people were saved. Then God kind of directed him after that, and multiplied, multitudes got saved. And then he went over to this place at Joppa, and he was having an afternoon siesta right before lunch, and this carpet came down, and the sheet came down, and all manner of creeping things and beasts and four-footed and five-footed animals, or however many feet-footed animals were there. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And all of a sudden, this knock at the door came, and these men from Joppa, from the other place, they came there, and Cornelius needed some gospel preaching at his house. And they got saved. He had a pretty good run after that, didn't he? When he really understood what it meant to love God. Jesus tells us in the New Testament that when we love God, everything comes into line. In John 14, the Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Do you understand what it means when we actually love God and love Him completely and love Him purely and love Him as we should, with, as Moses said, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength? It's a requirement. Do we really want the fullness of God in our life? Then we need to love Him. That love will be manifested. It will show out of us. It'll be a big blinking neon sign that says, I love God. I love God. And I want you to love Him too. That's the testimony that we can have. That's the difference that we can make in this world. That's the success that we can have, the blessings of God that we can have, because we're fulfilling the requirement of truly loving God, keeping His commandments, making Him the apple of our eye, and our desire and our longing is for Him and nothing else. Don't be like what the Bible said and what I read to you by going a-whoring after other gods. That means our life, our love is given to some other person or some other god or some other thing. You know, idols aren't necessarily little wooden statues that you bow down to. They can be other things in your life too that are trying to steal away the love that we have for God. Love